Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Good morning. I'm excited to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. I've been serving as the Mobilization Administrator, which is a big mouthful and a big title, for the Brethren in Christ denomination, for our church denomination, for about 15 years. And I never expected to be in this kind of work, and I'm just an ordinary girl that grew up on a farm in southern Lancaster County, and graduated high school, skipped college, went to work in the corporate world, so I worked in corporate America for 20 years, and my final job there was marketing for residential ceiling products. I had reached a point in my life in that season that I wanted more. Like, I was just, there's got to be something more to life than these ceiling products. And more meaning in life, you know? And that's when God stepped in. I was approached by the director of World Missions, BIC World Missions, at the time. And she said she had a position that she thought I'd be a good fit for. And I was like, well, what is it? And she said, you know, what it was. And I had never heard of a position like this. And I didn't know what kind of qualifications that I could bring to the table for something like that. So, because you see, you know, even though I was brought up in a Christian home, going to churches my whole life, I was Brethren in Christ, born and raised in this denomination, following Jesus as best I could, I had such a small perspective on the world. Global missions was never something that was on my mind, never even thought about it. And I didn't grow up thinking about the world. I was pretty much content in my simple little box, and I assumed I would eventually get married, have some kids, and be a stay-at-home mom. Well, for those of you that know me, my life could not have gone so much further from that than you can imagine. My assumption did not come out to be true, and my perspective on the world and even my box has grown so much larger. So that's my hope for you this morning, that you can hear more about the bigger perspective of God's heart for the world, and just help you to expand your perspective of the world. So one of the things I do for my job is send out a missions moment email every month. And a few months ago, I had sent one out that was related to the global lostness. And Joshua receives those emails. He even reads them, apparently. Many pastors may not read them. But he received this email, and he asked me if I would be willing or consider to preach on this topic sometime. And I was like, whoa, okay. You know, honestly, I do preach sometime for my job. I preach in other churches, but I've never had the opportunity to share with you. So, lucky you. Today's your lucky day. So, I took a deep breath and responded to Joshua that, yes, I would be happy to do that. So, here we are. So, I wouldn't call myself a preacher by any means. And I'm a disciple maker, like the rest of you. We're all disciple makers. And I'm passionate about reaching the unreached among the unreached people groups. I'm not called to go, but I am called to send people. At a recent Commission for World Mission meeting in January, we had meetings, every beginning of the year we have these meetings, and I shed some tears that day for the lost people of the world. My heart breaks for those who don't know Jesus, and I get so passionate about reaching the world, and I feel like, what are we able to do? And I pray that you hear some of that passion this morning. So taking you back to some of my beginnings, as I mentioned, I grew up on a farm. I have four brothers, no sisters. Some of you may be familiar with a program called the Fresh Air Fund program. So this is a program that allowed kids from New York to come to the country to spend time with families every summer. You could come for 2, 4, or 6 weeks. And my parents hosted Fresh Air Kids every year when I was growing up. They had some with my brothers before I came along, but when I was 5 years old, I met my summer sister, Sonia. She actually turned 5 years old when she came to our farm that summer. It's crazy to me to think. I think about this now. Her parents sent her on a Greyhound bus, not even 5 years old, almost five, from New York to Pennsylvania to meet a family from a farm in Conestoga at the Park City Mall in the parking lot. I can't even imagine. I think the program still runs today. I don't know how it runs, but I don't want to get sidetracked. But that just is astonishing to me that this happened. So in looking back over my life, I realized that my first exposure to people different than me happened at the very early age of 5. I didn't start out loving having a summer sister. She did weird things, and she was different than me, and she hogged the bed. The beautiful thing about this, about me and Sonia, though, is that she kept coming every summer up till she aged out of the program at 16. And we've stayed in touch, and I just had a visit with her a few weeks ago. So we're the same age, and we still stay in touch. Lots of life has happened, and we've still stayed connected, and only God can do something like that. So my box and my perspective on the world grew in those years. As I grew up, I did things like many of us do. I was active in my church, did the things you're supposed to do, was part of youth group, Bible studies, following Jesus the best I could. Jared and I got married and were part of a discipleship Bible study group for a few years. And in those years, we went through some challenging things, health issues, and we really needed to rely on God. And that's when my faith deepened even more. But my world perspective was still pretty small. Last week, Joshua talked a lot about faith and emptying ourselves last week in his message. And he also mentioned Abram and some of Abram's story. That reminded me of a time of my journey after finding out some of the news that knowing my life was going to be going a different direction than I had expected. Due to some health reasons, Jared and I decided not to have children. And that was something I had anticipated. I didn't expect that to happen. And in the midst of my hardest grief in that season, a friend shared with me a word from the Lord. It related to Abram. She told me, as God promised Abraham, as he promised Abram, that he would give him descendants as many as stars in the sky, that's God's promise for you too. And I thought, you are crazy, lady, because I'm not having children, and what is that? What? And I don't want to be Sarah at age 90 having a child. But I tucked these words in my little heart in my journal, and I just plodded through my grief and kept moving on. In 2007, I took my first cross-cultural trip to Nicaragua. My box got a little bigger. I took several additional cross-cultural trips over the years, and I started my job with the Brethren in Christ in this role in November of 2010. Since that time, I've traveled to probably 17 countries, many cultures, meeting many different people who don't know Jesus. My box has gotten much bigger. So fast forward to February 2025. I want to take you to a mountain. Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, Africa. Climbing 4 miles from the base camp to the summit of 19,340 feet. I remember starting the ascent around midnight. It was dark, cold, windy. Every step felt heavy. My lungs were burning and I was coughing and I didn't even know what was happening. I'd never been that high before in that altitude. I had my trekking poles, and honestly, I just focused on one thing, one step at a time. It took 2 hours to climb 1 mile. And I talked to Jesus a lot on that climb. And I also questioned, why am I doing this? But then we reached the top, and when the sun rose over Africa, it was breathtaking, absolutely worth every step. So I think there's a picture of my summit to the sunrise coming over the clouds in the top of the mountain. Now, I want to pause and show you the next picture. This is me at the summit. You know, you have these visions of like, yeah, I'm going to look like this amazing, like, I did it. I look like that's the worst picture ever because I'm basically dying. But I did it, and I made a great memory, and I only did it with God's help. So nearly 2,000 years ago, there was another mountain moment, not in Africa, but in the Middle East. The Bible tells us that Jesus gathered his followers and took them up a mountain. Now, while I was, you know, talking to Jesus during my climb through my heart and my mind and praying as I was going, his followers got to walk with him and talk with him in person every day. So I want to pause for a minute and remind you about Jesus' disciples. They were ordinary people. Some were fishermen. One was a tax collector. Another was a treasurer. One was even probably deeply involved in a radical political group. Seriously, what a misfit group of men that Jesus chose to be his disciples. Now try to imagine this with me. You know, Jesus' followers had spent 3 years with him, watching him perform many miracles, listening to him teach. Sometimes they didn't catch what he was saying. Sometimes they were distracted and didn't pay attention. And then they watched him be crucified. Then the resurrection happened. He rose from the dead. Many of us, I've never seen anybody rise from the dead, right? I don't think any of us here have. And then shortly before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives the Great Commission. So all this has happened. You'd think that by now the disciples are like, wow, this is like something big is going to happen here. Like he's got something to say. So I'm paying attention now, right? So every one of the Gospels records a version of the Great Commission. They all caught it, but today some churchgoers in America don't know what the Great Commission is or how they're supposed to even, what to do with it. So the Great Commission, here it is. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And here's what we often miss. This was not a suggestion. It's not just for teachers or leaders or missionaries. It's not just for those who go to other nations or go to other countries. It's for each of us, you and me, right here, right now, where we are, ordinary people. It was and still is a call to every follower of Jesus. Now, fast forward to today. We live in the most connected world in history. You can video call across the globe. You can translate languages instantly. You can access information in seconds. And yet, millions of people have never heard about Jesus. Not clearly, not personally, or not in a way that they can understand. Let that sink in. Last year, I had the opportunity to join our missionaries in the Amazon jungle in Ecuador. The travel groups that we met there were some of the most remote areas. We had to canoe for hours, hike for hours, and get in there. We had to fly out by plane later. These people have never heard about Jesus, but we have missionaries that you support and send. I'll get to that later. And you're part of that. So these people have never, we were able to share with them about Jesus who took on flesh and understands them where they're at. These are people who have never heard of the love of Jesus. Or also when I was in Ecuador, meeting some women and girls who have experienced so much trauma from the tribal groups and the places that they've lived, now hearing for the first time about Jesus who heals them and can meet them where they are and meet them in the middle of their sadness and hurt. Or even here in our own community, having the opportunity to interact with the refugee community that has been shared this morning. We've all been part of helping refugees in this area too. What a gift that it is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So when we talk about the Great Commission and people not hearing Jesus, we're talking about families and children and entire communities. Over 12,000 people groups exist in our world today. More than 7,000 of them are still unreached. And over 3,000 have no one trying to reach them at all. No missionaries, no churches, no active effort. Today when we talk about missions, we're not talking about numbers. I'll share another personal story in just April, a few months ago. We're in June, right? Yeah, 2 months ago. In April, I was in Samos, Greece, and serving among refugees with a ministry there on the ground. And after our first day there, I was struggling a bit, like, what is the point of me being here? I can't speak Arabic. I can't speak Farsi. I can't speak anything that anybody's talking. I don't know what they're saying. What good am I doing? I'm just an ordinary person trying to make a difference, but I don't know what I'm doing. And I was the leader of the team that I took, so I was trying to be, go get him, everybody. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I was crying out to Jesus in the morning, one morning, and I was processing this. And he brought me to a verse. He brought a verse to mind, 2 Corinthians 12:9. That verse talks about his grace being sufficient for me and his power being made perfect in my weakness. So I released my feelings to Jesus, and I said, okay, I'm feeling pretty weak right now, so I guess your power is shining through. So here we go. That very day, at the refugee camp, a 17-year-old girl came over to me and wanted to talk to me. She spoke English. She wanted to practice her English. She asked if she could talk. So she proceeded then to tell me how her mom had died, and she was struggling, and I was able to connect with her over my journey of losing my mother and the grief that I had experienced in losing my mother. And I shared some of my testimony with her and how Jesus has helped me in my journey and how he gives me hope. And this was a Muslim girl, and she'd been coming to the gatherings that they have each week at the camp and hearing about Jesus. 2 days later, I saw her again, and she asked to talk to me some more. And we spent the next hour while I listened to her share about the trauma that she's experienced in her short 17 years of life, and some just as recent as a week before there at the refugee camp, All I could do was listen and share with her the hope that I have in Jesus. I pray she learns to know Jesus in a personal way. I had to come home to the States and she's still there. But Jesus continues to work. My connection with her was a huge God moment for me. I was feeling useless and discouraged, and yet God chose to use me, ordinary me, to touch her life. So the question isn't just, what does that mean when you're talking about missions not being just numbers? The real question is, what does God feel about that? God feels compassion. In Matthew 9:36, it states that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus doesn't see statistics. He sees people, broken people, searching people, lost people. That means they're vulnerable, they're directionless, they're unprotected. Imagine being born into a village where no one has heard of Jesus, no Bible is in your language, and there's no Christians nearby. You have questions about life and purpose and forgiveness, but no one can answer them. The greatest problem is not that people are rejecting Jesus, it's that many have never had the chance to hear about him. There's a need for all of us to be ready on behalf of the church that Christ calls us to. There's so much opportunity, and there's a hurting world that hasn't heard anything about the healing Christ. Just like the girl I mentioned who I met in Greece, she's just learning about the love and compassion of Jesus. There are many around the world who are converting at risk of imprisonment. They heard about Jesus and the new way that Jesus offers us to live, and they decided to follow him even with the risk of their safety. There's people throughout the world that think gods are against them, who haven't heard the opportunity to hear about God, who can help them and who's for them. And there's many people around the world who follow many gods and are happy to have another god just put on their shelf with the rest of them, but they need to know the God who is personal and Jesus who can have a relationship with them. In Romans 10:13-15, it says how everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? If no one goes, they don't hear. If they don't hear, they can't believe. Right now, over 3,000 people are in that situation. No one going, no one telling, no access. And here's the tension. We're not lacking resources or churches or even access to be able to do this. The issue is not ability. The issue is willingness. You know, we know the end of the story. We read about it in Revelation 7:9. We sang about it this morning. After this, Revelation 7:9 says, and after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. A great multitude from every nation. Heaven's not small. It's global. Every nation, every tribe, every language. The outcome is certain. We can and are called to be part of the renewal that God is bringing about, which is already guaranteed. God's mission will succeed. Every people group will be represented. But right now, many of those voices aren't there yet. We're not working towards something uncertain, we're participating in something guaranteed. The climb up Kilimanjaro taught me something. It taught me a lot of things. But this one thing, climbing a mountain is like discipleship. You don't reach the summit by accident. You reach it step by step, with intention, and with perseverance. And the same is true of the Great Commission. Preparation is essential. You don't accidentally climb a mountain or accidentally make disciples. There's work and intention behind both. It's a journey, one step at a time. It's not solo. We're not meant to do this all alone. It's done in community. The goal is transformation, Christ-likeness. You help others up. You bring others along with you. And you need a guide to climb that big mountain, and you need a guide in life. And that's Jesus. Sometimes the climb is hard, you slip, you struggle, you question. But when you see someone you invested in begin to follow Jesus, that moment is like reaching the summit. Worth every step. So let's be honest. Why don't we live this out? Fear, because it's going to be awkward, might be weird. Or insecurity. You know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do that. Busyness is a big thing. We all have lots to do. I don't have time. Apathy even plays into it. Sometimes someone else will do it. I don't need to do that. But the truth is that Jesus already qualified you and me. Each one of us is qualified to make disciples and reach others where we are. In these days where we're living, God is moving the world to us. As we talked already this morning with Ben, the world is coming to us. We've had these refugee communities, families living with us, and there's more and more coming to the States. We no longer have to get on a plane to meet somebody from another culture or people with other beliefs. All of us here in our community have many opportunities to step out of our box and expand our box of world perspectives. So how do we move from discipleship to sending or going? Start with prayer. Maybe start with 3 to 5 people in your life, just consistently praying together about it. Living intentionally, being present. I'll share a little side story. I mean, many of you know who know me. I live with intention. I soak every minute out of every moment that I can. And I'm very intentional about the time that I invest in people. And so, you know, while I travel the world, I do also intentionally pour into a lot of people. My nieces and nephews, young adults, so many other people. You know, remember that promise that God gave me so many years ago about my descendants, the same as Abram? I want to say Abraham. Well, I think it was about 16 years later, after that was given to me, I was in India visiting our Brethren in Christ churches there. And the Brethren in Christ Church has a sponsorship for children where you can sponsor a child from India or Nepal. And it's called the SPICE program. And at the time, I was overseeing the SPICE program for my job. So when I was there, the pastor of the church invited me to the stage, thanking me for my service and talking and sharing about the blessing that the broad church of the Brethren in Christ has been in partnering with them. And he paused mid-sentence and he says, "You know, it's like you're the mother of the SPICE children." And in that split second, God took me back to myself sitting in my basement crying and understanding that, okay, yeah, God is blessing me in many ways that I wouldn't have known how. I know those children are not my children. But there's 850 kids that are in the SPICE program. And, you know, God has filled that promise to me in bigger ways than I ever could have imagined. I have so many spiritual children that I'm blessed with and I can speak into and I can invest in. And so my story just looked a little different than I expected. But God is good. So going back to moving from discipleship to going, the third step you can try, you know, share your story. Your testimony speaks volumes to people. Like, you are all on a journey. We've all come from places. We all have, it doesn't have to be an amazing, extravagant story. God's got a story. You have a story. Share it. You can invite people to join you for a coffee, come to church, have conversations. And then discipling. Don't just share. You know, walk alongside these people. Walk alongside the people. And for some, what goes beyond our neighborhood, there's other real opportunities. So as all of us are part of the Brethren in Christ denomination, we here at Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church are also sending and sharing in the support of sending missionaries and going. So we have a lot of open posts that we're looking to fill. The Brethren in Christ wants to send a lot of missionaries. And I will just mention two this morning. We have some open posts. We have two posts that we're looking to fill in Malawi, Africa, and we're looking to fill two posts in Ubon Ratchathani, Thailand. And we're focusing on them this year. We're praying diligently over those two areas and two regions because we want to build our team. There's small teams there on the ground that we want to help support. And in Malawi, you may remember, we do support Estelle and Kristen Bathurst. They're Brethren in Christ missionaries, and LBIC is sending them, part of sending them. They've been serving in Malawi, Africa, among the Yao people group, which is a tribal group that's Muslim. So we're looking for more people to join their team. And then in Thailand, the positions we're looking to fill is one is to join our team that's doing church planting in rural areas. not rear-wheel drive, but rural areas. So we have some church planting we need to fill there in those areas, and then also looking for even somebody to teach in the university, because that's somebody that can teach any, you can teach English there in the university and get it connected with the young adults scene of students, and then invite them to church, and they can have the young, they do have a lot of young people in our churches in Thailand. So those are some areas. Someone must go. Why not someone here? Why not you? So do we have time to share the video? I think we have the video next. So I want to introduce you to Krista. And Krista has just part of her story. She recently deployed to Ecuador. So that's what it looks like to say yes to the climb that God calls you to. The world's not waiting on a better plan. It's waiting on willing hearts. So today, I'll ask, will you pray? So every Wednesday, BIC World Missions has a weekly Zoom call at 10 in the morning. And everybody joins to pray. We pray for the global church missionaries and also churches across the U.S. If you're interested in that, there'll be information in the weekly email when Joshua sends that out. Will you give? Many of you are giving. Thank you. I don't know if you understand or know, but there's this thing called common ministry that we are a part of with all the Brethren in Christ churches across the U.S. And our tithes and offerings go towards that. And some of that funding from common ministries from all the churches across the U.S. goes towards sending missionaries. So we are sending missionaries. So thank you. And we've been supporting Ben and Lindsay Newton as their part. They're in our own community, and we support them together with the work they're doing locally. We're supporting Estelle and Kristen Bathurst, who are serving in Malawi, Africa. And maybe more, we don't know. We also have partnership with projects you can get involved with in supporting, and we've done that as well. There's a partnership handbook project for giving Bibles to the Yao people. So the Yao tribe in Malawi that the Bathursts are serving with, we've given to get some Bibles to those people. So many of those things we're part of, so thank you. Will you invite? Will you go? Stop asking if you're called and start asking how. You know, who might go? Why not someone from our church? Who knows what God's doing in the hearts of all those children downstairs and our youth? God is moving. Let's be a generation that moves in compassion toward others with the message of Jesus. Because one day there will be people from every nation before the throne of God. And what a joy it will be to say, we helped get them there. How will you be part of the story? How will you allow God to use your ordinary self in service to him? I'll be happy to chat with you. I'll be back in the lobby today in between services. Thank you.